In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go. Feeling kind of mean.
Wednesday, May 29, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Andy Pollin coming up in just a second. So, before I get to Andy, I knew he'd have a milk toast take on this, because that's just who Andy is, and that's fine. The Scottie Scheffler arrest. When I put the podcast to bed last Thursday, the mayor of Louisville was just starting his press conference to show what they thought was this smoking gun video of the arrest and the incident. And the mayor himself even said, we think the video speaks for itself. Oh, it speaks, all right. It just probably isn't saying what you think it's saying. The entire world that saw this video said, wait, what? That's it? That's the arrest right there? That's what you're going to charge him with three different felonies for? Or a felony assault of a police officer? Where is all that you said was in the police report? The acceleration, the dragging the officer to the ground, none of that happened. Including the detail that read, Detective Brian Gillis's uniform pants, valued at approximately $80, were damaged beyond repair. Yes, they were damaged beyond repair because they were on fire because he's such a liar. Scheffler's courtesy vehicle with the clearly marked sticker on the side with the special player's permit in the windshield slowly turns left into the property, into Valhalla. There is no other cars visible coming the other way. There's no pedestrians visible. And it was then that Officer Gillis had to run, or chose to run, after the car and then jump to the car like a fucking maniac and slam his flashlight into the window of Scheffler, and then to have some animated discussion where they're reaching in the car, trying to turn it off. Next thing you know, the world's number one golfer is being hauled out, pressed up against the side of the vehicle, cuffed and stuffed. He was not dragged. He did not attach himself to the vehicle, as the police report says, and those pants are fucking fine. The funny thing is, I read about this. Why is this detail important? Apparently, according to the LMPD, the Louisville Metro Police Department, and maybe this is just them or maybe it's all police departments, newly assigned uniforms can cost roughly $250 once any patches are sewn on and the uniform is fitted. That's not counting their boots and belts, which cost an additional $200. Now, you might think, wait, they don't even give the cops the uniforms to wear while they're serving and protecting the good, fine, upstanding, law-abiding citizens of Louisville, Kentucky as part of the job? Apparently not. Officers get some money towards the cost, but those funds are taxed. Each officer needs to have about 5 or 6 uniforms for their everyday work. Okay, then. So this cop was lying through his ass, lying through his teeth, lying out his ass and through his teeth. And there's more to the story. Oh, this guy's record. Officer Gillis has been suspended for 4 different incidents, missing court dates, including the most serious of incidents, which was driving an intoxicated civilian in his vehicle while doing donuts in a business parking lot. This is like the movie Let's Be Cops. Any further violations of this nature will warrant severe discipline, reads his personnel file. And thank you to Kentucky for having open records laws so that this stuff could see the light of day. In addition to all of that, he did not have his camera on. And he works traffic. This is what he does. So my earlier report that, well, maybe he wasn't a traffic guy. Oh, no, he's a traffic guy who should know, turn your fucking camera on. Of course, he didn't. And therefore, he was given counseling on how to rectify this violation of department policy in the future. In other words, some lackey above him said, okay, Officer Gillis, here's on and press. Okay, good. And I'm going to check this off on your personnel file that you received counseling, how to not do that again. Bad boy. He's also been involved in 4 at-fault accidents while driving department vehicles. Also, he seeks outside work. He's got other side hustles. He has outside employment with other companies, mostly for providing security at big box stores and for directing traffic at special events. He also filed a secondary employment request asking permission to work as a, quote, collision investigator for lawyers and insurance companies. So he's for sale. He requested to be allowed to operate in plain clothes as he would be working private investigations where he is not representing the LMPD. Now, he has been commended a few times. In November of 2020, he was commended by the then chief of police, Erica Shields, for issuing 108 citations during a 4-hour operational period. Gillis and the other officers were praised in this letter for their strong work ethic, diligence, and tenaciousness. Write them tickets. One would think the charges would have already been dropped, but apparently not yet. Apparently the DA and I guess the officer have a career-ending wish, and they want to take this to trial. So far, Scheffler's side is saying, we're not settling anything. My client did nothing wrong, and I can only imagine if this did go to trial, to hear the grilling of Officer Gillis on the stand, because he was not dragged, he didn't fall down, his pants weren't ruined, and none of what he reported was even remotely accurate. And then to have this personnel file be fair game in a court setting. Scheffler should have been apologized to right away and the officer fired last Friday. But you know there's politics involved. You know, in a city like Louisville, they can't treat a number one golfer in the world, privileged, white, with that kind of whoops, whoops, we're sorry, in the same city that had the infamous Breonna Taylor incident that led to an innocent death. Which is, look, that's a complicated one. I've read up on it, and I'm not going to try that here. But bottom line is, you know, politics are driving this. So they're not dropping it yet, but it seems to me like if they try to press through with this and if Scheffler's side doesn't blink, all I can say is good luck finding a jury of 12 other crooked cops who will be like, yeah, no, definitely. Throw Scottie Scheffler in jail for this. For turning left, slowing down, stopping. How dare he? You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. All right, let's get to Andy.
Hello.
My man, how are we doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. These Bill Walton tributes are just amazing, aren't they?
Oh, man. I mean, the people who do them, they're, you know, like the stuff from Billis is fantastic. But yeah, I mean,
What was the Billis stuff? Catch me up to speed on that.
Well, Billis, you know, Billis is like, for him, was like Sonny for me. You know, he grew up in California. And was like in middle school when Walton was great, and then got the opportunity to work with him, you know, and, you know, kind of like not exactly what I did with Sonny, but we did radio together.
Right.
And so, you know, and then just the whole thing, but the amazing,
we're on right now. So you need to trim your sails. Yeah. I figured I'd get right into this. You got somewhere to be tonight, and I've got some GERD issues, so I really can't go that long today.
Okay. All right, fine. So, I would also add that the Bill Walton that everybody saw in the last 20, 25 years, for some of us, is like, who is this guy? Because when I was watching him in college and early days in Portland, he wasn't giving interviews. Nobody knew this guy. And then later on, like in his late 20s, early 30s, he started to talk some, but he was going through his NBA career. And then when he finished his NBA career and he got into broadcasting, it was like, well, what's he doing that for? He never had anything to say to anybody. And then you couldn't shut him up. It was like a different guy than anybody really knew as a player. But as a player, I mean,
he was
unbelievable. And it's just too bad that that injuries cut his career short.
Yeah, too bad about the injuries for his career. And, I mean, 71 is too young for a guy who had the spirit of still a young man through and through. And it's rare that somebody can be that outwardly positive without people immediately thinking this is shtick, this is an act, he's a phony. He pulled it off because he was the real deal.
Well, yeah, and you know, usually you hear like behind the scenes, oh yeah, that's the way he acts on the air. But you should see what he did, you know, X or Y, or, you know, how he treated my brother or my friend's brother. You never heard anything like that. He was genuine.
No, absolutely not. And has some incredible quotes, such as, he was talking about California. He just mused, oh, California. If the pilgrims had landed here, the East would still be wilderness. Talking about his son, Luke, saying, you know, Luke is living on the beach playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, and he's 24. If he's not having the time of his life, I've utterly failed as a father.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's said great. His said his own parents said his dad was one of the most unathletic guys he's ever seen. But he and his mom were able to give him a beautiful upbringing because his mom was a librarian. And so he read a ton of books when he was a kid. Very smart, very well read, even though he was wrapped in a goofy wrapper, a hippie kind of wrapper.
He said he did not have a television.
Yeah.
And the first time he saw UCLA basketball was when they won the national championship in 1965. And that's when he decided he wanted to play for John Wooden. And, you know, if he were coming out now, everybody would be lined up outside his house to try to get him to sign. In those days, I don't really remember much of a recruiting war. And as a matter of fact, Tom McMillan was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he was considered to be the number one catch.
Right.
You didn't hear about Bill Walton, especially on the East Coast, until he, as a sophomore, won the national title with UCLA.
Yeah. In high school, and this is from the SI Faces in the Crowd portion of the magazine, which I think you and I are both huge fans of growing up. Just yep. These tiny little agate type blurbs about, hey, here's someone you might want to keep an eye on. Many of those athletes didn't turn out to be much of anything, but the ones that did, when you go back and look, it's even more kind of like, yeah, wow, look at this. Here's your faces in the crowd on Walton. The 6'10 and a half senior at Helix High in La Mesa, California, was named MVP of the Covina tournament after he scored a record 50 points and grabbed a record 34 rebounds as Helix defeated Pasadena High 110-68 for the title. So that's a title game. So in other words, the second best team got dusted by 42 behind Walton's 50 and 34.
And also, it's not when a guy like that would be identified as like a 12-year-old and then be shuttled off to IMG Academy. This was the local public high school.
Right.
And that's where he played. And the coach must have gone, oh, my God, look what just walked in the gym. Also, the height is important because Walton throughout his life did not want to be known as a 7-footer.
And really?
He was probably about 7'1", maybe 7'2". But he just didn't want to have that label, so he was always listed at 6'11". But he was probably taller than that.
Right. Meanwhile, I got to pivot here, hard pivot, to Stephen A. Smith and this Jalen Brown controversy. Are you up to speed on this?
Yeah.
This is some jaw-droppingly arrogant and dirty dealing. Here was Stephen A. Smith talking about Jalen Brown on ESPN.
Much that he's underrated. It's that he's just not liked because of his, quote, I am better than you attitude. He knows it. It's the same reason he is not as marketable as he should be. That's what an NBA source just sent me. I don't know that to be.
So there you go. He basically read his phone on the air from an unnamed source. Completely slandering Jalen Brown at a crucial time in his career, but then, you know, sort of dismissed it by saying, well, if you listen to the whole segment, I said, I don't think he's that. That's not how it works. You can't just say, well, you know, I'd heard Andy Pollin likes to eat small children, but I've never seen him have an appetite for that. So I think Andy Pollin's a fine guy. This is some slimy shit, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, who do you want to be, Stephen A? You hide behind this, oh, I used to be a columnist in Philadelphia, therefore I'm a journalist. No, you're not a journalist. You're just throwing out stuff that people talk about, you know, at the water cooler. That's not, and you have the platform where, you know, people look at your opinion and look at your sources and say, oh, that must be news. And again, that's one guy's opinion of Jaylen Brown.
That's maybe. It's maybe, it's maybe someone's opinion, but it is the epitome of hearsay and gossip. And yeah, the ESPN platform is way too big, and Stephen A. Smith has way too much unearned clout, if you ask me, for his opinions. And you can't say that. Like, right, ESPN should suspend him for this. In a,
no, if, they won't.
If, and of course they won't. They're, I'm just saying, if they still, okay, where is he going to go?
Well, that's a good question. But he's looking at what Pat McAfee is doing and saying, I want that. And they're already clearing the decks for that. You know, they got rid of a good reporter in the
Ed
Werder.
Ed Werder. Again, yeah, second time poor Ed got whacked.
Yeah, and they got to make room for his money. And not only that, he doesn't just want to stay on ESPN, on Fox News. He goes on CNN. He believes that the whole world wants to know his opinion on everything. And he's gonna try and get as much money as he can, as much power. I mean, this is, and they've had this before. They've made him too big once before, cut him loose, brought him back. He came back even bigger. It's bizarre.
I'm just surprised that the Celtics or Jaylen Brown or his agent or somebody with some juice hasn't pushed back hard and said, you need to fucking do something here. Otherwise, we're going to go scorched earth on you.
Well, they dumped Norby Williamson when he butted heads with McAfee. So they've already seen one of those guys kill a management person. They're not going to test it again.
Wow. Okay. Well, I just would think, like, if you're Jaylen Brown, this is bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
One person, you know, slandering you like this and then having him read it and say, but what? I said I didn't believe it. You can't. That's not how it works, for God's sakes.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, should the NBA have flexible finals starts to avoid what is most likely going to be an 8-game layoff, 8-day layoff?
Yeah, I think, and we went through this before, but I guess we had, maybe it was before the Eastern Finals, Western Finals, whatever it was. We had the near sweep last year, and then the Celtics came back and won 3 straight, but. This has to be changed, because not that people are going to forget about the NBA and a week and change, but you lose a lot of the momentum. And the teams that take the floor on June 6th, this is the first game. I mean, how representative are they going to be of the teams we're seeing now? And it's really going to help Boston, because Kristaps Porzingis, the more time he has to get ready, the better off. So it does not seem right, no.
The NHL does not have set in stone finals or final schedule. They go by the Stanley Cup final, singular. The NBA does it differently. And you can say logistics and hotel rooms and arena availability, but come on now.
Yeah,
it's going to go Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Thursday, Sunday, if you need all 7, and we'll see what the ratings are. I know this, Kyrie Irving in Boston is going to get booed to the moon and back. How do you feel about the Kyrie Irving redemption arc?
I did not see it coming, and I'm trying to think. It may have happened on a smaller level. Who is the, why am I blanking on his name? The tight end for the 49ers. Can't win with him.
Oh, yeah. Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis. And, you know, when you saw that happening in San Francisco, well, that's the beginning of the end. And then he turned his act around. But Kyrie is much more important to his team than Vernon Davis ever was.
Can you feel good about it, though, in any way, shape, or form? Yeah, no, thank you. No further questions, Your Honor. That sigh says it all. I'm the same way. I'm like, there's no way I can be invested or happy for this. I mean, I guess good for him, but fuck him. He's still a bad guy. He showed his full ass. I had to go to Wikipedia, Andy, to remind myself of all the shit that he's been involved in. It wasn't just one thing he got sideways on. It was constant. And you could say, well, he's different now. He's more mature. He showed his real ass, his whole ass earlier. So whatever.
Well, and let's see what happens when there is some things to deal with. Like, let's say they win the title and Luka gets too much of the credit. You know, what happens then? has he really turned it around? Has he really become
They're doing the teammate schmoopy right now. Oh, yeah. They are saying all the right things.
Yeah. But he also understood when he opted into his last year in Brooklyn that there wasn't going to be anything out there on the open market. So, you know, there was some realization. But again, when he wound up in Dallas, I thought, oh, God, Mark Cuban, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously it's worked out.
The NBA is about to get out of the TNT business. Obviously, the TNT guys are, you know, upset about it. But at the same time, and I don't know how you feel about this, Barkley was seen loudly saying, I'm a happy guy. One more game and I'm going on vacation.
Yeah.
Also, Stephen A. Smith on the air saying it's going to be a long series in the Pacers-Celtics. It wasn't. But I'm not rooting for it because I'm tired. I need a vacation. This is a terrible fucking look for a very well-paid job that is very little work. Bullshit.
That's the way I feel as someone who's worked in the business for
right.
a long time and worked, you know, often 6 and sometimes 7 days a week.
And worked holidays.
Yeah, but I think the public looks at it like, look at the honesty of this guy. You know, somewhere along the way, that's become more celebrated. Hey, he says what he
guess
thinks.
So, right?
Whatever's on his mind. So, yeah, it is insulting to people who still work very hard and look at the craft as something that you do every day and do it as well as you can. And he, you know, he doesn't even bother with any research. He gets celebrated for that. You know,
right.
he the other night they had on, Daniel Gafford after they won game three.
Right.
And they, you know, Ernie Johnson set up the first question asking that. Barkley's got the follow-up and he says, let me ask you, PJ. And then Ernie has to say, no, that's Gafford. Oh, yeah, Gafford. I'm sorry. So he's not even really even paying attention to what he's doing while he's doing it. But somehow he's become the number one broadcaster. And I, you know, I do find him to be entertaining. I do find him to say some things that I'm kind of thinking. I'm a little
all
deflected
right.
on it.
All right. This guy, David Zaslav, of the CEO of Time Warner Discovery, when he opened his big mouth a year and a half ago saying, well, we don't have to have the NBA. He better have a good fucking plan in place for what that channel's going to look like after the NBA is gone. Because that's a lot of Friends reruns. That's a lot of, you know, ER or The Office reruns. I mean, what the fuck is TNT without the NBA?
It's true TV. It's where you go once a year to watch the NCAA tournament. That's what it becomes.
Right. I mean, they had to sublease some college football from ESPN. That's a weird arrangement, isn't it? Where
yeah.
ESPN's like, all right, we bought too much college football. Here, do you want to buy some off of us? And Turner's yeah. like, yeah, it looks like we're going to have some money because we're not paying for the NBA anymore. So, yeah, we'll take some of those games.
Subcontracting. That's bad business has been done forever. So
yeah.
that makes
all right.
some sense.
Angel Hernandez has been fired, or he just suddenly decided to retire in the middle of the baseball season. One of the most notoriously bad, short-tempered, asshole umpires in the history of baseball is gone. This is a good start. What do you say?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I think finally, you know, Rob Manfred had a little bit of chutzpah and got him out. But, you know, he lost, but he had sued for racial discrimination.
Sure.
So I think they thought it would be a really bad look if they fired him. I guess they got enough support to go to him and say, look, we don't want to fire you, but we got enough ammo to do it.
Right.
So
you suck.
We need to get out.
Now,
yeah.
the word is that he said his wife and family were just exhausted having to see all these headlines about, you know, the latest Angel Hernandez screw up and people's vitriol online, to which I say, well, two things. One, they don't have to read the sports section or those social media apps. Number two, stop sucking. Or if you do suck, maybe suck more humbly and don't yeah. eject guys with a ginormous ego the size of Montana.
Yeah, he's 62 years old. So whenever I hear this, you know, I'm tired, need to spend more time with my family.
What do you say?
Yeah, that's not true.
You're like, hey, I talked to your family. They don't need that much of you. They were getting enough as is. You should probably find another job.
Well, most guys who do that, going back to like when John Madden retired at 42 and he went home and he found out his family wasn't home because they were living quite comfortably without him.
Right, exactly. You really can't be like Kramer moving into Boca del Vista in Seinfeld where you're too young for all the other retirees. You know, you got to be at a certain point in your life on this. So I would say CB Buckner and Laz Diaz, you're next on the clock. Get rid of those two guys and umpiring will be really good in Major League Baseball because most of the other guys are solid. Right, I'm trying to think of the other asshole and or incompetent referees that we finally run out of the various leagues. I would say that Steve Javy was a walking nightmare in the NBA. Thank God he's out. Jeff Triplett wasn't a jerk. He was just a bumbling, bad referee that would screw things up. He finally retired. Anyone else that comes to mind?
I don't follow the referees as closely as you do, but I would say about baseball, Questech is coming. They're going to have automatic balls and strikes called. I mean, it totally transformed tennis. You know, John McEnroe became this wild figure because he was arguing line calls. You can't argue line calls anymore. You could do the same thing with balls and strikes.
What did McEnroe famously say? The chalk flew up.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you know, there's like a whole reel of things that he did. But yeah, and he got points taken away. I think he got matches suspended. He made himself into this guy based on line calls. There's no such thing as disputing a line call anymore.
And yet he was not necessarily the worst guy with the umpires. Apparently Ely Nestazi.
Yeah, he was something.
Was even worse when it came to abusing the court umpires and whatnot. Here's a little sample of McEnroe.
Get the
cheers. 15-30.
You saw that serve in up there? What, because that thing verified it, or what?
Serve is good, Mr. McEnroe.
You got the absolute pits of the world, you know that?
The pits of the world. Yeah. I love that rant right there. So, yeah. Do you know who Dove Kleeman is?
I've seen him on Twitter. Not familiar exactly with who he is.
All right. So, right after I put last night's podcast to bed, I closed with the tale as old as time of Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, and his girlfriend being pregnant, this 26-year-old, you know, fast mover. Within hours after I had put it to bed, she went on social media to say, these rumors are terrible and totally untrue. I was with him at one public event and I'm not dating him. This is not his child. Now, there's a lot more than just one set of photos of her with him, but it may have been an incorrect report. Now, the reason that it got so much traction is This mysterious Dove Kleeman is like the great NFL mystery man who runs this account that gets a lot of followers and a lot of traction. And now the theory is that Dove Kleeman, whoever he is, sold his account to someone else who is now getting more aggressive and more shameless in this quote-unquote content farming business of just throwing stuff out there that they know will get clicks and retweets and everything else.
Yeah. This is why on Facebook I put things regarding my personal life and my family. I would never, ever, ever put it on Twitter. It's only sports takes. It's a cesspool out there. It really is.
So you don't think on Facebook there's stuff that's also fake and or, you know, not quite real? More personal, like, hey, I can vouch for this photo of me at this barbecue because I was there and I had somebody take my photo.
You don't get the responses that you do on Twitter, you know, like,
the nastiness.
Yeah, the nastiness. And that's what you avoid. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to swim in those waters, which I do.
Right.
But I also make sure I separate out anything that, no pictures of my family, anything like that. Nothing goes on Twitter like
that. Do you swim less in the Twitter ocean than you once did?
No, I don't think so.
About the same?
Like it. Okay. Yeah, and especially during football season, I like to tweet during games and, you know. but get responses.
I keep wondering when maybe my bosses at the radio station might say, you know, could you tweet a bit more? And my answer will be, well, I could, but you know, I'm giving away my opinions for free here. And I don't see how it would help my radio show if somebody sees me tweet something like, you know what, that Drew Holiday trade was a mistake for the Bucks. Look at what he's doing for the Celtics. Now I've just given away my opinion, whereas other people might be like, oh, well, I can listen to music on the way into work tomorrow because I've already heard Zabe's take on this.
Yeah, but you saw it in 180 characters.
Want a deeper dive on it? Like, okay, yeah. Let me explain the how and the why and everything else.
Yeah. Or say on, you know, my show in the morning, I'll explain why X and Y happened.
Promote that. And then it's almost like, so you're telling me somebody who otherwise wasn't going to listen saw this. And decided, oop, hold on, make a mental note, I got to listen tomorrow. And that there'll be enough of those people that tune in to then sway the numbers in any registerable level. And also at the same time, not turning people off like, ugh, really, NBA? Not a fan. I'm out.
Could be. You also stay in their consciousness, you know. Oh, yeah, Zabe, yeah, right, he's got a radio show in the morning. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but the downside of it, though, is bullshit because, you know, one slightly sideways tweet, you can lose everything. You can lose your job. Even if you're not trying to be controversial, if you just don't read the room sometime, you know? Like you sent a tweet out about Grayson Murray not knowing that he has, punched out of a tournament and committed suicide. Good luck to you, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you try and stay away from anything like that.
No, but my point is you could have said something like, Grayson Murray's putting sucks right now. I don't know what's going on. He's like, you know, you could say something and it would be totally benign, but because you don't know what happened, now they're like, how dare you? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, you get that. And I've made some bonehead moves and I'll apologize for them from time to time.
No. Well, you're not really in danger of doing it, but to get people to follow, you got to offer something spicy and you got to give them something to go. I got to keep coming back for them hot tweets.
Long past that. I'm just in the shallow end of the pool with my floaties on, you know, and the Mark Spitz Olympians, they're doing their laps and doing triple gainers off the dive board.
Pull that's not for me anymore. All right, real quick for you, one more thing. Come on, scroll up. Damn it, what happened to this thing? And one more thing for you, now I've lost it. It doesn't matter. How was your weekend, your long weekend?
It was good. I took a long bike ride, and I got a nice surprise visit from my daughter and my granddaughter, and my son-in-law, and we had a little barbecue. So it was all good.
You know, Bill Walton said his bike is both his wheelchair, his peace of mind, and his something else. He said it's my everything in life. He used to ride his bike home from games that he would call.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like, but obviously it didn't play a factor in his lifespan, he didn't wear a helmet from the pictures I've seen. I always make sure to wear a helmet.
You as a bike crash survivor are a big advocate for the old bucket.
Yes.
All right, very good. Andy, a pleasure as always. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Zabe, take care.
See you. Seems impossible to fail. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.